Hello, and thank you for tuning in to this pre-election episode of our PAC Politics podcast. Our podcast is brought to you by our organization, Our United Resource PAC. If you don't know, we are a tax-exempt political organization. Hey guys, I am your host, Brittany McDowell. I'm many things, but for the sake of this podcast, I am the host. And again, I appreciate you taking the time because I know if you were like me today, there are probably many other things that you would probably just, I don't know if you're listening to this because you're trying to keep yourself preoccupied or if you were listening to this because I don't know why you're listening to this. Because if you're like me today, you are feeling a mix of emotions, you know, and it's weird because normally you feel that kind of mix of emotions after the election, right? Like if you think about what many of us felt post 2016 election. But it's kind of weird to be in a place where I feel this mix of just weird emotion before the election. If you were to ask, if you care, the emotions that I kind of feel in this moment are emotions of anxiety. I'm very anxious about tomorrow. Part of me is just like, well, you know what? Let's just get it over with. Part of me is like, no. At least I know the devil I'm dealing with in this moment. I don't, you know, I know what I'm feeling right now. Part of me is also like, you know, very scared, especially when you look at what's going on regarding people and places. Part of me is sad. I'm sad based on off of the fact that, you know, the election time is a time where as Americans we get to exercise some of our democratic rights, you know, and it's a time where we should be feeling proud. And you know, unfortunately for a lot of people, when we look at, you know, not just the election itself, but when we look at the things going on surrounding the election, we're feeling sad, we're feeling terrified, we're feeling, I hate to say this, but the feelings feel almost un-American for something that should be the most American thing that we all kind of experience. I don't know if that made sense to you, made sense to me, but that's just kind of where I am. So if I'm like kind of all over the place today, it's because just emotionally, that is where I'm at. As much as, you know, this podcast is a podcast for our organization, I mean, I'm still a person, right? I still feel, and again, quite honestly, today I am feeling, I don't know. I'm feeling too much and in a way not enough, if that makes sense. Anywho, you know what? So let's get off of the election, right? We can talk about the election till kingdom to come. But I want the focus of today's show to be almost a reiteration of what I talked about during the last show. If you don't know our last podcast episode, I talked about something that should kind of, you know, ring some bells for you. It should, you know, it was a pre-election episode. It was an episode that compared kind of Trump to Biden based on a specific poll. Sorry about that. I have my phone right next to the microphone. We've actually the last two episodes, we've really been focusing on kind of accusations that have been happening back and forth. We focused a little bit about the election, and there's been this constant message that I've been trying to drill into everybody's head. And that is the fact that you, despite what you were hearing from people like Nancy Pelosi, you need to get it out of your head that help is coming, at least in this very moment. For the longest time, Nancy Pelosi was out there saying, hey, I'm wishing and I'm hoping and I'm very hopeful and oh, it's looking good and oh, this might be the day. And she was just dancing and prancing around, you know, putting on a pony show, making you think that help was actually on the way for you and your family, when the truth has been that help isn't coming, at least in this moment. That's what I want to stress during today's show. The fact that help, my friend, is not coming. This shouldn't be a long, drawn-out show, but there are a few things that I want to talk about. Again, it's not necessarily about the election explicitly, but there are some things that I want you to think about as we go into tomorrow. Because, again, people like Nancy Pelosi have been putting on this pony show expecting that you believe the hype. And the hype has been a lie. And hopefully it's abundantly clear. I hope to God she's not out there today saying, oh, well, maybe something before the stimulus. Because if you haven't figured it out, Nancy Pelosi has been lying to you. So sit back. Let's get into this podcast episode. I'll try not to make it a long one, but I don't think it will be too quick because there are a few things we need to discuss. So let's do as I would like to do, which is to speed right past and over the election tomorrow and get right to the day after. Well, ideally, it would be the day after, assuming that we know the results of the election, but it may not be for some time. Whenever that point in time is, whether it's the day after the election, a few days, a week, a month, whatever the case might be, I want to make it clear that immediately after we know the results of the election, no matter who is declared president, no matter who loses or gains a congressional seat, we are going to go immediately into what's referred to as a lame duck session. If you don't know what that is essentially where politicians do kind of like just think about what they've been doing since like March, where they have essentially been doing nothing. They've been putting on like this dog and pony show of prancing around and wishing and hoping and, oh, let's put on a talk and, oh, let's have this secret meeting. And, you know, think about that and where we actually don't see anything as a result of what they are claiming they're doing. This is what we're going to get out of a lame duck session, okay? This is a time where we don't expect our politicians to do anything. So again, regardless of when the election is officially called, I want you to be aware that even if, for instance, Donald Trump remains our president, or even if we see the Senate go from control by Republicans to control of the Democrats, that doesn't mean that anything is going to immediately get done, okay? We are going to have a period of time, which is going to last us till approximately January, mid or so January, mid-late January. We're going to have realistically, even when you look beyond when people actually assume office, things don't like immediately get done day one most often, right? So I want you to keep that in mind because I want you to, again, understand that just because election day is tomorrow, right, we are not going to see things dramatically change. I want you to expect, as it relates to stimulus, because I know a lot of people are hurting, I want you to expect that you're going to be in a position, even after this lame duck session, it's going to probably be about 3 or so months without there being any stimulus happening. And that 3 months is assuming that Congress is able to get itself together, get something passed, get it done, as I say, get her done, either end of January, early February. That puts us in a position where stimulus is getting passed in about 3 months. Stimulus actually won't hit your bank account, if you're lucky, until maybe March, April. And that's assuming that we don't end up with any hiccups. But if the past is any indication of our future, not the past where we saw what we did with the CARES Act, where they relatively quickly got themselves together to get assistance to the American people. But if the recent past where we've seen this dog and pony show of, oh, I'm looking to help you. Oh, look over here. No, oh, look over there. And nothing actually gets done. Do not get your hopes up of even seeing anything within that kind of 3 month period, anything, any form of economic stimulus or assistance from our federal government. What I do know for sure is that even going into this lame duck session, more and more job losses and increases in unemployment are the name of the game, right? It's kind of like, I like to use the example of the house burning down, right? I use the example all the time about how one party wants to, if you have a house burning down, they both want to be able to say, oh, I've thrown water on the house, but one party wants to take a single bucket of water and throw that on the burning house and be able to claim, oh, see, I actually did something. And the other party wants to actually use a fire hose. They both are doing the same thing, but the extent to which they are doing that thing has varied impacts, one of which will actually aggravate the fire and agitate it, and the other one which will actually do something to rectify the problem, which is the actual fire. When we look at that, for instance, example, if we apply that to kind of what we're going through now, our house is on fire, right? We know that hopefully at some point before it burns to the freaking ground, hopefully at some point somebody will want to do something. Somebody will allow us to do something. But in the meantime, we know that the fire is still raging. So what that means related to our unemployment and related to our the job losses that we're seeing all across this country, it's getting worse, right? I was reading an article. I don't remember the source of the article, so my apologies. I was reading an article that talked about how, look, come December, we're going to see millions. I think it was like 12 million people, 12 million people who have back due in rent of $5,000 or more that's going to become immediately due. Right? These moratoriums that we've been seeing on rent, this has not been a wipeout of rent. Eventually, the bill is going to have to get paid, and we're seeing that coming due. And I was having a conversation with somebody, and the conversation that we had on this matter was that a lot of people, you had some people who legitimately couldn't afford to make the payment on the rent, but some people made what I refer to as a bad bet. You know, it's not a bet that I personally would have made, but, you know, it is what it is. And for whatever reason, some people made the bet of saying, well, you know, yes, I can pay my rent in this moment, but I know Congress is not going to allow us to go through this for months and months and months without any aid. And so I know if I get a stimulus package, I'll be able to pay it later. So let me just use my funds now, funds that I probably could and should use to pay rent. And I'm going to use it for something else, something, you know, that is going to help me survive at this time. Again, am I saying that they should have done that? No. Am I saying that everybody who has taken advantage of or who has utilized the moratorium has done that? No. But I am saying that there are some people who did make a bad bet. And there, again, are some people who also, again, just legitimately and really, truly did not have that rent money. So I'm not placing blame. I'm just saying some people were really dependent upon the stimulus because they had no other choice. And some other people were dependent upon it because they really just, as they said, they didn't think Congress would do us like that, you know? But even again, a whole point of what I just said was that the house is still burning. So even though we know for a fact that it is going to be months and months and months until we see something, the house is still burning. Unemployment's getting worse. Job losses are continuing to increase. And so we just have to hope that the house doesn't burn down beyond a repairable point in the process. It's unfortunate, but that's where we are. In the words of our president, it is what it is. It's really kind of crazy when you think about it. It's been about 9 months since we saw the first COVID-19 case diagnosed here in the United States. And, you know, I want to make it very clear. Yes, the election is tomorrow. And how I talked about how we're heading into a lame duck session immediately after we have the election results. I want you to have something very, 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 very clear. Congress did not give a damn the last, you know, 6 or so of these 9 months. So don't expect just because an election happened, even if it benefits a specific party, a specific politician, don't expect for them to give a damn after they've just gone well over the 6 months, but at least 6 months of the last 9 months demonstrating that they do not give a damn about you or your family and your personal economy. Okay. You know, and I say this because it really applies to both situations, both likely situations. I mean, there are a lot of situations. I've talked about many situations that can come along as a result of the election. But if you look at how, for instance, President Trump has promised us stimulus should he be reelected, this applies to him because think about it. he can't do anything by himself. We talked about in previous episodes how he needs a Senate to make it happen. Even if the Republicans retain the Senate, even if they have a president to go along with them, I have proof as we get later on into this podcast that they're telling you now that they're not going to do anything. But logically, if they didn't do anything when things were super duper bad, I mean, and actually you can make the case that literally things are getting worse. I mean, we've passed a point where we're getting 100,000 plus people getting COVID a day in this country. I, in my personal life, can now say not too long ago, knew 17 people and one person who died from COVID. I now know 19 people and one person who has died. And I'm hoping not to add to the number of people I know who have died from COVID-19. It's sad, in the words of the president. Again, it is what it is. But this is what we have to contend with when we as a country are not willing to do what the heck we need to do. I feel like fussing, but I'm not going to. The other situation that I want to explain that this also applies to, the fact that they didn't give a damn before, so don't expect them to give a damn now. If the Democrats end up picking up the Senate and we see Joe Biden elected, I'm not going to say that they won't give a damn at some point, but don't expect that, again, during the lame duck session, that they are immediately going to be able to do anything. And it's not going to be so much due to their own volition. It is going to be more so because even if they get the majority in the Senate, the Senate has the F word to contend with, which makes it really difficult to get things done. Not saying it's impossible, but they have something really difficult, the F word to contend with. And that is a filibuster, something that I can guarantee you Republicans are going to utilize should they be in a position to be in the position to be in a minority in the Senate. But should they be the minority in the Senate, I can guarantee you that is going to be their go-to tool to, even if they can't completely stop what's going on, they're going to definitely utilize it to try and drag it out. And unfortunately, there are going to be some people who don't understand what the filibuster is, how it's utilized. So if it is utilized, they are going to be in a position where the narrative, the lie that's going to be sold to them, that, see, it's the Democrat, they lied to you, they didn't want to do anything, they're going to believe and drink the Kool-Aid. You can't help those people. You can't help people who are willingly ignorant. You know, obviously we're all ignorant about something. None of us know everything, myself included. But when you decide not to open your mind to learn new things, I can't help you. I don't want to help you because you don't want to know, you know, and you can't help people who don't want to know better and don't want to do better. I don't know. I'm going to start to ramble. So let me stop and just again, re-emphasize the fact that we are headed into a lame duck session. Don't expect anything to change because in the words of the president, it is what it is. If you have not been to the polls already, this segment is for you. I want to talk directly to you. There is a political message that I want you to carry with you as you go to the polls. And that is the political message that politicians have said to us, not through their words. Some of them have said it through their words, but many of them and most of them have communicated this message through their actions. And these are three words that they have said to us, and that is tough luck, America. Okay. Politicians have access to vast amounts of data. Okay. They have access to specialists. They have access to a whole different level of things and people that the average American does not have access to. So I refuse for one iota, one moment, to believe that politicians, any of them, Democrat, Republican, that none of them knew the implications of their inability to get something done, or in some cases, they didn't understand the implications of them only proposing doing the bare minimum, even if we were willing to go along with that. So what I say to you I have very much advocated for the take back of the Senate in Democrat control. I have very much advocated that we no longer have Donald Trump as president and that we re-elect Joe Biden, or excuse me, that we elect Joe Biden as our next president. But I will say this, I don't care who you are voting for. Well, I have a preference. What I do every day speaks to the fact that I want a specific, let me kind of backtrack. It's not that I want a specific party, because I have no allegiance to party. Our organization is not in any way, shape, or form affiliated with party. It's just on the issue of COVID-19, economic stimulus and relief, certain people have shown us that they are more willing to benefit, or that they are of more benefit. They will provide more value to most Americans, right? Rather than just kind of that subset of, you know, your wealthy political elite. But no matter, honestly, and I'm being very, very honest, let me not say I don't care who you're going to vote for, because I do. But I will say, whoever you decide to vote for, make sure you vote and you go to the polls being willing to hold somebody accountable. Because politicians are counting on you not holding anybody accountable. They are counting on you not holding people accountable by not voting. They are counting on you not holding people accountable by just being willing to fall and toe the party line if you've been affiliated with a political party your entire life, or they count on you not holding anybody accountable by, as part of towing the party line, saying, you know what, I care about this specific social issue. Again, using myself as an example, I say it all the time. I like close my eyes at night and I see Nancy Pelosi somewhere on a corner in San Francisco performing drive-through abortions herself and handing out checks to illegal aliens. I see it. I know somewhere in my heart of hearts, that is what Nancy Pelosi does. But I will tell you what, as wrong as I believe that she is on those issues, I understand that our country is in a moment of crisis. And as much as I literally hate abortion, as much as I literally think that people are killing children when they are having abortion, on the issue of COVID-19, Nancy is right. And in the words of the president, it is what it is. And so, because of that, I have to hold who I believe to be accountable on the issue of COVID-19 economic stimulus and relief, even if it means that I have to favor people that I probably would not otherwise favor, right? Now, if you have some like deep-seated, you know, I can't, certain beliefs I can't go against, you know, again, getting real personal. Again, I say all the time, I am a Christian woman, right? I believe Jesus Christ. He is my Lord and Savior. You know, hey, you believe what you want to believe, but that's what I believe, you know? And I will go to the grave being willing to be persecuted for that. Hate me if you want to, but I know where my hope lies. And it is not in any of you. It is in Jesus Christ. But that said, as much as I also believe that abortion is wrong, right? I don't plan to vote solely based on that issue. Does that mean that just because, let's again have a moment of honesty. I know that Joe Biden, he supports abortion. He believes in what I see is killing children, right? Is my vote for him what's the word I'm looking for? Does that mean that I accept and agree with the fact that he wants to have women all across the country killing their children? No, right? But does that also mean that because I believe he's okay with that, that he is wrong automatically on every other issue? No. What it's about, and here's the problem, and I'll use our organization. Our organization used to focus on various social issues. And if you notice, right, certain social issues have become synonymous with specific political parties. Okay, you look at LGBTQ, LMNOP rights, you look at abortion, you look at fiscal conservatism, which if you investigate that, that's a fraud in and of itself, because I can guarantee you, while they haven't been really fiscally conservative the last 4 years, trust and believe, as soon as we roll into November 4th, oh, the lights are going to come on for how much they need to save money, right? When they have not been doing that the last 4 years. But anywho, so, you know, all of these social issues have become synonymous with specific political parties. And this is where they get you, okay? I'm not telling you to change your values and change your beliefs. But what I am telling you to do is that you need to recognize that if you make an alphabet soup out of all of your social issues, you really only have two options. Okay. Again, I don't even know if that made sense, but if you say to yourself, I'm going to vote only based on abortion, I'm only going to vote based on what I am sold to on as fiscal conservatism, I'm only going to vote on a wall, I'm only going to vote based on X, Y, and Z, or I'm going to vote on this and this, A plus A and B, 1 + 1 typically equals 2, right? The issue of, think of it almost like an equation. If you add, just say, welfare reform and you add illegal immigration, what does that equal? Republican Party. If you add LGBTQ, LMNOPQRSTUV rights with, you know, abortion, what do you get? Democrat Party. They are counting on you going along with the equations that they have made for you. And you have to be willing to think for yourself. Again, does that mean, let's say, for instance, if you've been a lifelong Republican, does that mean that automatically, if you're willing to, for instance, vote for Joe Biden, does that mean that you automatically agree that, you know, abortion should be handed out on every corner? Does that mean that you agree that they should be able to abort to the day of delivery? Does that mean that you think that crack cocaine should be legal? Does that mean that you think that 5-year-olds can decide to be transgender? Does that mean that you think that a man in a dress should be able to use the bathroom with your daughter? No, it doesn't mean any of that. It doesn't mean that you agree to that. Okay? And this is where you have to I want to be very honest with you. All politicians, no matter who they are, if you didn't know, now I want you to know that they use you for an explicit purpose. And that purpose is getting your vote. And when they no longer need your vote, they no longer pander to you. You can see that with examples of specific locations, you know, that they say, look at Florida and it's going to, you know, so the country and the presidency depend on Florida or da 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 da. States, we're seeing in this election cycle, states that they never really cared about before, now some of these states matter. You know what I mean? States that mattered in the past, now you don't see them caring so much and kind of trying to pander to them or running a lot of ads there because it's not serving a purpose anymore. And that's honestly what you have to do back to the politicians. You need to say to yourself, what is my most important issue in this moment, this election cycle? And I'm going to vote based on that. So, for instance, right now, the name of the game to get what we need done on COVID-19, economic stimulus and relief, not just to help you, but to help our country, we need a President Joe Biden. We need more Democrats in the Senate. Now, once this term is over, and this issue was hopefully no longer an issue, Maybe that means that we no longer need to give a damn about those people and you can go on to the next issue and other politicians. You need to stop swearing allegiance to politicians and parties. Because when they can always, this is how you get, for instance, a safe Democrat, a safe, because they have these districts that they can reliably count on as being Democrat or, you know, being Republican. They have these politicians who come from districts that are like, you got to free your mind, people. You really have to free your mind, you know, and it's unfortunate that we see so many people, excuse me, who call, for instance, something like our organization has done wishy-washy in terms of, oh, you didn't support illegal immigrants and now you guys are willing to support a Democrat. Yeah, because that's what we need in this time. Our organization is not affiliated with a political party. We're not affiliated with a specific politician. And what that does is it frees us to be honest. We don't have to defend politicians who are screwing over the American people. We don't have to defend parties that are no good for the American people. And you could be willing to do that. You could be willing and able to do that if you were willing to lose your allegiance. But in order to do that, you have to educate yourself. Does that mean you have to become a political junkie? No. But the more you know, the less likely you can be manipulated. Is there a lot of disinformation out there? Absolutely. But let me tell you something. Even with a lot of information you're being fed from various sources, if you just literally think about the information, for instance, I had an episode not too long ago where I talked about how I think it was the asinine accusations episode, the episode before last, where we were talking about, where one party was saying, oh, well, how the Republicans were saying, you know, oh, Nancy just doesn't want to give you a deal because she doesn't want Trump to have a win. But I broke down how, look, we have a negotiator in chief who calls himself like the king of the art of the deal. And he knows for a fact, if he really believed it, the best way you do it in a negotiation is you call the other side's bluff. So what you do in that situation is you don't sit up there and you don't say, oh, well, I'm not going to go along with it because she just wants to win. If you really believe what you're trying to sell me, you would actually go ahead and agree to it and let themselves kick themselves in the butt. But the fact that you didn't shows me that you don't believe what you were actually espousing to believe. So when you start being more independent and you pull yourself away from a political party, you put yourself in a position where sometimes you might agree with the Democrats, sometimes you might agree with the Republicans. And the beautiful thing about that is when you are more independent and less of you hold less of an allegiance to a political party, you don't have to defend the actions or the ideas of that party. You know, somebody comes up to me and says, oh, you want Joe Biden elected? He wants to kill the babies. Okay, that's his thing. I don't agree with him on everything. Do you honestly believe everything and agree with everything for somebody you vote for? If you do, you're drinking Kool-Aid. You're not thinking for yourself. There's no way that you can agree on everything that a politician, most people don't either. If you agree on everything, that says that the politician either doesn't have a broad enough what's the word I'm looking for? They don't have a broad enough, they don't have a broad scope of issues that they're focused on. So you'll find some politicians who literally are only running on one issue, veterans or this or that or two, three issues. But, you know, if you're finding like you've got like this template boilerplate Republican, you know, platform, or the only reason, and let me tell you, most of these politicians don't even believe all of what they're trying to sell you. They just go along with the platformed ideas because that's how they can get money from the RNC or the DNC. People who will just feed them money to do their campaigns. Because we need to get this politician elected because we need this seat and this will help us overall congressionally. So we'll go down and we're willing to give you money. And, You don't believe me? Look, I've been on there's a show called Power, and I have been on a binge, right? So you have Congressman Tate, right? He literally, in the show, he literally just had like a woman from the DNC come down to him. He's been working like with this gangster. Okay, anyways, you know, I'm not going to get into that. Not going to go on a tangent. But point of it is, guys, think for yourself and take with you to the polls this message that they have been saying to you, which is tough luck. And you need to hold some, I don't care who you hold accountable, hold somebody accountable, because what they're counting on is that you don't recognize the amount of political power that you actually have. And when you don't not just recognize it, but when you don't take advantage of that political power, you let them run willy-nilly. It's the equivalent of somebody breaking into your house. You know who broke into your house, but you decide not to call the police. Why would you do that? You know you have the full force of the law behind you to hold that person accountable for breaking into your home, disrupting your safety, putting you at risk, your family at risk, but you decide not to do it. Why in the heck would you do that? This is what these politicians have done. They have broken into our country. They are making you less safe, your family less safe. They are throwing this country in the trash, and they're setting it on fire. We need to hold them accountable. They're counting on you not holding them accountable. And speaking of holding people accountable and voting and using your vote as a method of holding people accountable, I want to stress that while you're on your way to the polls, when you're at the polls, make sure that you are safe, okay? Tomorrow really should be another day where we can, as they say, make America great again, right? You know, we've been hearing this phrase for years at this point, make America great again. Oh, make America great. But really, really and truly, tomorrow, no matter who ends up in what position tomorrow, this is individually our individual attempts to do what we can as individuals to make America great again, right? But instead of us doing that tomorrow, when you look around, tomorrow is literally being set up to be a day of fear, right? Tomorrow is going to be a day to make America scared again. Some people are literally scared to go to the polls. Not necessarily because some of them because they fear the results, right? Some of them because they fear that their votes aren't going to be counted. Some people because they fear that they might be hurt physically on their way to the poll or at the poll. I saw a video of somebody throwing a sword at somebody in a car. It was a Trump supporter, or a woman was in the car on her way to vote, and he said that she better vote for Trump, and he threw a sword at her. We've all hopefully or probably seen that video of the gang of thugs that are the Trump supporters who were in cars. And I'm not saying that they're Trump supporters, that they're thugs just because they're Trump supporters. I'm saying that their actions were thug behavior, right? We have no problem calling looters and rioters who demonstrate horrible and deplorable behavior thugs. I have no problem in calling people who demonstrate this deplorable behavior thugs. These people were thugs when they went and they tried to ram the Biden camp, the Biden-Harris bus, and run it off the road. That was thug behavior, right? At thug behavior. And so when we look at everything, you know, when you consider the fact that they're putting a fence around the freaking White House, stores are being boarded up, right? We're making America scared again. And this fear is this negative emotion that ultimately makes us weak again. What is this? Make America weak again? We need to make America great again. And we literally, just how we need to be taking our country back, we need to take that phrase back. And we do that by holding people accountable when you vote tomorrow. But in the process of voting, on your way to vote, when you actually vote, please be safe. And like me, I tell people all the time, look, I can't fight, but I can dial 911 really, really fast. So if you have to, put 911 on speed dial. I don't know if you can, but do what you have to do to be safe, because we've got to make America great again. I need to talk to Nancy Pelosi for a minute. Nancy, I want you and I need you to be honest. we have been seeing Nancy be the arbiter of hope. She has been our twinkle, twinkle little star on a shining hill, right? Who made me wonder where we are, right? Like, we've been in happy la-la land just listening to Nancy. Oh, any day now. Oh, stimulus is coming. I'm feeling very hopeful, very optimistic. Da-da-da-da-da. Oh, I can see it coming before the election, right? She said, and like, this literally boggles my mind. Nancy Pelosi even recently said that she would like to get a deal done during the lame duck session. Now, I want to make it very clear. She didn't say that she hopes. She didn't say that she wishes. She says she would like, which is basically the same as hoping and wishing. So if you think that, if you heard her say that, if you read that quote and you thought, oh, well, maybe there's hope. No, this is saying she would like to. This doesn't, look, when it comes to statistics, right, there's something called probability and there's something called possibility. It's possible that a purple elephant, because anything is possible, it's possible that a purple elephant could walk through this door, but it's not very probable, right? It's possible that a plane could just fall out of the sky. It's very possible, but it's not very probable given the statistics around that actual event. Same can be said for a deal getting done during the lame duck session. Is it possible? Absolutely sure. Yeah. Why not have at it cost, right? People can have this come to Jesus moment where they say, you know what? Absolutely. I have done wrong by the American people and I'm willing to get my crap together and I've got to do better because I've been charged with this responsibility of, you know, protecting the interests of my constituents and yada, yada, yada. But is that really probable? No, hell no, right? Like, we all know, and Nancy knows too, right? It's not going to happen. When you look at, you know, historically what happens during lame duck sessions, nothing happens. And the best indicator of the past, or excuse me, of the future is the past. Nancy has been full of hope, and that's great, but I want you to know that she's been selling Americans a pipe dream, right? We are not going to get stimulus. We didn't get stimulus before the election, and we most certainly are not going to get one during the lame duck session. I've spelled out in the past the reasons for that. I'm not going to do that. I don't have the energy to do it. But I want to say this. Nancy Pelosi is not a stupid woman, right? As much as I disagree with her on many, many, many things, I would be absolutely out of my mind to think that I was dealing with a stupid woman. She would not have attained her level of political power and influence as a House representative if she were a stupid woman. So I will never even attempt to call her a stupid woman. But I want to make it clear that in saying that, I'm not like pandering to her and like, oh, I love you, Nancy. No, because I don't, right? I just want to say that to preface this. Nancy Pelosi didn't sell us on hope and change and things getting done because she really thought that it was happening. She saw the benefit in selling hope, right? In selling hope, she was able to keep people from burning down the proverbial house. She was able to keep the level of protesting down to a minimum. She was able to keep Americans thinking that they didn't need to get out there and protest and break more buildings and loot and do all. She was able to kind of scathe that off, which actually worked not just to her benefit, but actually it benefited the president, if you're honest about it. Because had that happened under his watch, whoa, buddy, right? So she knew that, hey, you know, I know that this isn't coming, but if I sell people on hope and change, there are things to be benefited from it. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. Hope and change were the name of the game in 2008, but it does not work. It has not worked. It is not an effective strategy for 2020. And as much as I have said that, she knew that. She absolutely knew that because, again, Nancy Pelosi is not, nor has she ever been, a stupid woman. Thank you. I want to have our last segment for today's show be about what Mitch McConnell has said about stimulus. In the Asinine Accusations show, I talked about what Republicans, specifically Mitch McConnell and Trump, have accused Nancy Pelosi of, and I kind of debunked that. But I want to, as we go into Election Day tomorrow, the last thing that I really want to talk about, again, is Mitch McConnell and what we can expect regarding stimulus. Because as much as I would like for Democrats to assume the majority in the Senate, it is looking like Republicans, more likely than not, are going to retain control of the Senate. And that's important because the leader over there is Mitch McConnell. So we kind of need to know and be aware of where his head is at. So Mitch McConnell said, there's this direct quote. He said, "We probably need to do another package, certainly more modest than the $3 trillion Nancy Pelosi package. I think that'll be something we'll need to do right at the beginning of the year." Few things that I really want to point out. Notice, now, this isn't in reference to anything happening right now. This is in reference to early 2021. So I want to make that very, very clear. But I want you to pay attention to language that people use, right? Because look it, we probably, so this is not like we guaranteed need to, and I want to put this into context because what we've been hearing is how if Democrats control all three, they want to go into this really jumping right in and that stimulus is going to be essentially their first priority, their top priority. And it is bad optics to know that one party wants to go into it helping you and then another party, you know, kind of really doesn't, right? So he is essentially responding indirectly to what Democrats are saying. But again, he's not saying, oh, I'm doing this with the same level of urgency. I'm guaranteeing that this is going to be what we're going to do. He said, we probably need to do another package. Certainly, here's the two key words, more modest than the $3 trillion. I can tell you why he used that phrase, more modest than the $3 trillion, okay? Right now, the talk of the town is with the Democrats that what they have proposed in the past is going to be inadequate. And they're actually going to have to propose a bigger stimulus package because of the fact that, like I mentioned earlier, unemployment has gotten worse. Job loss has gotten worse. So we're going to need more money because more damage has been done since the original proposal, since the original passage of the bill in the House. And so that said, if you look at really what Mitch McConnell does, what he's done in this quote, he wants, if you just kind of hear it very quickly, more modest. He's using language to manipulate your feelings and your thoughts. Most people are going to hear more and they think, oh, he's going to want to do more. But notice he said more modest, right? So that's actually not an increase in something. That's actually a decrease in something. And that's important because he's counting on the fact that you just hear more and then you kind of ignore the word that comes right after it, which is modest. But I want you to pay attention what the actual theme is with Republicans. And the theme, when you hear words like more modest, more conservative, more targeted, more makes you think bigger and better. Like, oh, they actually want to help. They actually want to do more. But actually what they're doing is they want to be more restrictive, right? If they actually phrased it in a way that would actually give you negative emotion, the reason that he phrases it like that, because more modest has less of a negative connotation than less helpful or less than, or right? It's all about the language that they use. And that's important because I've said time and time again that the politicians, everything is about perception, right? One way that they influence perception is by what you see, but the most often used way with politicians that they influence your perception of things is by what you hear, even when what you see is something completely, completely different, right? Look, We even hear or we have heard from Mitch McConnell that, let's say that there's a hypothetical situation where the Republicans retain the presidency and they retain control of the Senate and nothing changes about the current makeup. Again, Dems in the House, Republicans holding the Senate, and Donald Trump remaining president. He even is at odds with what the president has said. The president said he's going to give us the biggest, baddest, bestest stimulus package ever. But Mitch McConnell says, look, and this is a direct quote, judges will come first. Judges will come first, not stimulus, not aid for cities and states, not educational aid, not testing aid. No, judges. Judges come first. While our country is burning down, we need judges. I guess we need judges to resolve the issues from all the burnt assets across the country, right? So, look, it's impossible to predict the future. I will give you that. So anybody who was telling you, even when you look at pollsters, that, oh, this is exactly what's going to happen, nobody knows. Now, obviously, can data be useful? Absolutely. Absolutely. But point blank, period, nobody can call things exactly, right? Nobody can guarantee. I mean, unless they're a near prophet or a psychic or something of the sort, they cannot, right? They can't predict the future. But what we can do is we can learn a lot from the past. And again, I mentioned when I talked about how Mitch McConnell says that judges are going to come first. President Trump said that we need to reelect him. And if we reelect him, he's going to give us the biggest, bestest, you know, greatest stimulus package we've ever seen. But he lied about that because he's going to need the Senate to do it. And the Senate leader has not just in the past demonstrated an unwillingness to prioritize economic stimulus for our country, but he has blatantly stated that he is not, that's not going to be a priority for him going forward. So even if Trump is reelected, we essentially need three things to fall in line for it to happen. We need the House to sign on, which the Democrats will. We need the president to sign on, which he will if he proposes it. Then we also need the Senate, and the Senate is led by Mitch McConnell. Not only has he personally said that that's not going to be a priority for him, but we already know that his gang of thugs who were unwilling to help our burning country, those thugs are willing to just sit by. Those people are not going to do anything to help the American people. And without those people, Trump and the Democrats can't do anything on their own. So I want to make this clear. I've said before that you should not listen to what people say, but watch what they do. All right. And if we really take hold of that, that we should judge people by what they do and not by what they say, when we look at and we consider this narrative that we're being sold, which is that we need to reelect Trump because he is going to give us the best stimulus package, the biggest stimulus package. He's going to make our economy the best it's ever been. He's going to be better for the economy than Joe Biden. Let's look at what he has done in response to the pandemic. He's ignored science. He has undermined the authority of scientists and medical professionals. He has created chaos. He has, I was reading an article where essentially with his rallies he's been doing, like his campaign is responsible for like the creation or the spread of 30,000 new cases when you look at the rise in COVID cases after his campaign actually leaves locations. And that's been tied to about 1,000 deaths. I've been calling him the COVID in chief at this point. But let's judge him on how he has been. If you were genuinely, and don't even believe me, like literally don't believe me, take it upon yourself to do research. If you are like, you know what, I'm genuinely torn on, I like Donald Trump, you know what, I believe that we should not be awarding or rewarding people who break the law to enter into or stay in this country. We should not be killing babies in the womb who haven't had the experience to experience, who haven't had the chance to experience life. We should not be, you know, making crack cocaine legal. We should not be letting grown men in dresses in bathrooms with little girls. Even if you believe all of that stuff, on the issue of the pandemic, I want you to consider what the president has done and the impact of what those either actions or inactions, what that impact has had, not just on the country as a whole, but on you personally. Like I said, when I look at it on a personal level, I now know 19 people who have contracted COVID-19, one of which has died. That has been the personal impact that the failure of this president has had on me. And I am taking that with me as I go into tomorrow, because that one person did not deserve to die. Those now 19 people did not deserve to have a COVID in chief who denied science. They deserved better than that. And I think you do too. Be safe, because it's scary out there. But as it's scary, as scary as that I know it is, especially if you have not voted, I want you to keep in mind not just the president and his record, but keep in mind what Mitch McConnell said his plan is, especially as you look at those down ticket races, specifically those in the Senate. Because you're either going to set the country up for failure or success, and it's up to you. It's fall, and you know what that means, right? You can find us on Facebook. No, I know that fall and Facebook have nothing to do with each other, but they both start with the letter F. So, according to my logic, perfect time to tell you about finding us on Facebook since it is fall. Isn't that exceptional logic? By my point of view, it is. Anywho, in the description box below, you'll find a link to our Facebook page. Check us out. If you like us, like our page, we'll be more than glad to have you. Again, find us on Facebook. Look in the description box below for the link. Hey, this is Brittany. Just wanted to shoot you a quick reminder. Look in the description box of this episode and you can find a link to our website. On our website, you can find our latest blog posts. You can find our contact information. You even want to make a contribution, you can go over there and do that as well. You can find out the policies we are looking at and targeting as an organization. You know, I say all the time that we are a tax-exempt political organization. If you want to know more about that, again, go on over to our website, our-pack.com, where you can find out everything you want to know. You can do everything you want to do. We will gladly, gladly, gladly welcome you on our website with open arms. Again, check out our website in the description box below. All right, so that is our pre-election show for the 2020 election. Again, you've been listening to our PAC Politics podcast. I know I was kind of all over the place today, and again, it's probably an expression of my emotions. Like, my emotions, even now done recording this podcast episode today, I'm still feeling a mix of emotions about tomorrow. But I just want you to keep in mind, again, that immediately after this election, we are going into a lame duck session. So just because we have the election, even when the numbers are totaled and tallied and we have official declarations of who won and who lost, keep in mind we're going into that lame duck session and you cannot expect anything to get done. So I want you to plan your personal life, your family life accordingly. Remember, if you have not gone to the polls, and if you do go to the polls, which I hope you do by tomorrow, that you first and foremost need to be safe. If you see any suspicious activity, alert the authorities, right? We've seen and heard of people having swords thrown at them by Trump supporters. That's not okay. That's deplorable. That's thug behavior. And we need to call it out. And these people need to be held accountable because they do not have the right when you are attempting to make America great again by demonstrating your right as a voter in our democracy. They don't have the right to take away your right to make America great again. So remember that as you go to the polls tomorrow, but again, please be safe. I don't want you living in fear, but I also don't want you forsaking your freedom by willingly surrendering it to idiots. Idiots who, quite frankly, seem to not really have to answer to anybody. I mean, can you imagine if an Obama supporter threw a sword at somebody? Can you imagine if a gang of Obama supporting thugs had their flags and they attacked a MAGA bus? Can you imagine that? Like, there'd be calls for them to be in jail, and they'd probably all be in jail by now. But we know how things work. We know the level that there's one level of accountability for some people, and then there's no accountability for another group of people. It is what it is, but we can all do our chance to change that. We all have a chance to change that tomorrow. And even as we look kind of down ticket and we, you know, look at the House and we look at the Senate, I want you to keep in mind what we've seen from both respective leaders. I want you to keep in mind that Nancy has been, you know, hoping that you sniff the lines of, you know, hope and change and that you are running on the same high she is. But I want you to come back down to reality because she has hit a crack pipe that, quite frankly, most Americans are no longer willing to hit. And then when it comes to Mitch McConnell, I'm not going to get that. Sorry about that. When it comes to Mitch McConnell, he has essentially said that, look, you're not going to get stimulus even if I am reelected. So even if the president is reelected. So I want you to keep that in mind, not just at the presidential level, but keep it in mind with your down ballot races. Even if you're not dealing with or voting for people whose names have been in the limelight, keep in mind that they all hold something very near and dear to each of us, which is a vote, and their votes, like your vote, impacts our lives. So if you are voting for someone just simply based on, they agree with me on abortion or whatever, or this, that, or the other, but they have either said or they have demonstrated that they don't care to help you and your family in your time of need while we're dealing with COVID-19, don't be surprised if, you know, they continue with more of the same should they be reelected. And you can't blame anybody but yourself if you vote for him, right? And honestly, I don't feel sorry for you because you voted for it. And if you don't vote at all, I the same for you. I don't feel sorry for you. You get what you get and you don't throw a fit. But please be safe tomorrow. If you haven't gone to vote and you do go to vote, be safe, not just, you know, in looking at your surroundings, but, you know, wear your masks, wear gloves, especially if you're touching other items that other people have touched. Take some hand sanitizer. Look, I walk around wearing goggles now, so maybe you want to get you some and, you know, wear them. If you have a hazmat suit, now is the perfect time to pull it out. So we will have our post-election episode on Wednesday. Again, be safe. Have a great day. And again, you've been listening to our PAG Politics podcast. I will see you on Wednesday.